And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Well, again, happy Resurrection Day. Good to see everybody. Glad you're here. We are looking at Luke 24 and working through the book of Luke. And this morning, there's kind of this idea that this is the best part of the story. That if you go to the movie with your friend and you've seen the movie before them, and you're watching the movie, and then all of a sudden, you kind of nudge them and say, "Hey, here's the good part." That's what we're saying this morning. We're nudging each other and saying, "Wake up. Here comes the best part of the whole story." Again, if you were here with us on Good Friday, that's the bad part. That's where we are sad, where we grieve, where we leave in silence and darkness. But this morning, we rejoice. We celebrate. We say, "Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed." And what I want to do this morning is say, this is a great story. It's amazing. And what I want you to see in Luke 24 is it just gets better and better and better. We're not going to look at everything in Luke 24, but we're going to look at a significant part. And I just want you to see how things just keep getting better as Jesus works, as Jesus is redeeming. So I want you to see different people here, the women, the angels, the disciples, and then Jesus. And again, I want you just to see how things get better and better because of Jesus. First, notice the women here and look at where they start, which they start at a pretty low point, but things get better for them. Look at verse 1. "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Now, they came to the tomb with spices. This would kind of be like us going to a gravesite with flowers, expecting a dead person, expecting a casket, expecting someone in there. They went because they loved Jesus, but they went looking for him to be dead. And then verse 4 says, they saw that the body was not there, and they were perplexed. This word in the original text means no way. They didn't think that something had happened. They said, no way. We might even say, this felt hopeless. In other ways, they're saying, no way. This actually happened. The women feel all kinds of things. They come with their doubt. They come with their love. But what are they expecting? Dead Jesus. But things get better, tremendously better for them. Also, notice here the angels. Look at verse 4. "Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel." These are angels. "And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground," the women, "the angels said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" What a great question. What are you here to see? Are you here to see a dead person? He is not dead. He is alive. Now, I want to ask us, when do we think Jesus is going to show up in certain situations? Do we walk into church? Do we walk into relationships with other Christians? Do we walk into our job, our house, thinking that there's just going to be dead people there? Or do we think that Jesus is on the move? Do we think that he can redeem and even resurrect something? Jesus Christ is risen, and he changes things. And I love that the angel asked this direct question. What do you expect? What are you looking for? Just bring your spices. Come show your Easter respect. Or are you looking for a Jesus that is alive? Look at verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. And I love that the angel says it so clearly. Don't you get it? You're hopeless. You think it's done, and it's just beginning, because it is going to get better and better. This is a rebuke. This is a clear correction for them. And then look at verse 6. Remember how he has told you while he was still in Galilee. There again, he's saying to the women, remember what Jesus told you. And then the angels communicate and preach the gospel so clearly here to the women. Look at verse 7. That the Son of Man, and he's pointing out to the women that this is Jesus the man. Full humanity here. This is the Son of Man. And the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. So sinful men needed a sacrifice and needed one of their own to give his life. But had to be a perfect sacrifice. And there was only one who could do this. Not just blood, not just torture, life. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, those who would judge him, those who would hang him on a cross, and then he must be crucified. The most brutal death. The Roman crucifixion is one of the most brutal deaths in all of history. That this is what he had to face. And this man was going to be delivered into the hands of men, die a human, brutal death, and then on the third day, he would rise. I think often we hear about Jesus and we think Jesus is God, and that's good. But here the point that the angel is making is he's a man. And the man, Jesus, paid the penalty for the sins of people, of men and women. He was the perfect sacrifice. And then a man rose from the dead. A physical person did this. The angel preaches the gospel here to the women, and the women remember. They all of a sudden say, okay, this is it. Now this makes sense. Now we remember that he had said this to us. Now we remember that he is the perfect sacrifice. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Isn't it easy to forget the gospel? Isn't it easy just to get caught up in our sadness or life. Scotty Smith calls this gospel amnesia. They had it. And just as quick as it left them, it came back. They remembered. And they were thrilled. They then left. And look at what they did, verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things. They went to the disciples and they told other people. These women were now on mission. They heard the gospel. They remembered the gospel. And the gospel moved them out to go to others. I remember a friend of mine named Tim who became a Christian in a dorm at Georgia Tech. Literally, a guy went and knocked on his door, shared the gospel with him. He received it, prayed to receive Christ, was a Christian. And then Tim said, let's go next door. Let's go to the next dorm room. Let's go tell other people. Y'all, this is what happens when the gospel lands. Whether we've forgotten it and remember it, or whether we've never really heard it, it moves us. And this is what we see here with these women. But then notice the disciples and notice their hearts. Verse 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. Unbelief. They did not believe them. I love that Luke just shoots you straight. This is what happened. Didn't believe. John and Peter were two of the ones that did not believe. But then Peter, with mixed motives, but because he wanted the truth, decided to do something about it. He heard that the tomb was empty, and so he got up. Look at verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Now, John also talks about this in John 20 and brags a little bit about how he's faster than Peter. John 20, verse 4, both of them were running, but the other disciple, who was John, outran Peter, just for the record, and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But John did not go in. Peter got there. John got there. John didn't go in. Peter did. Peter wanted to know the truth, even if it hurt, even if it caused tremendous fear and rejection and regret. He just wanted to know the truth. John was a little more hesitant. He didn't want to look in. But then after Peter did, after Peter had courage to look in, then so did John. In verse 7 of John 20 says, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Jesus wasn't taken. Jesus wasn't rushed. This was intentional, just as he said. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, just for the record, also went in and saw and believed. Do you have courage to seek the truth? Do you have courage to be able to go and find out the truth? Especially if you're not yet a believer. Are you being held back because you're just afraid of knowing? I get that. Sometimes knowing the truth is painful. Sometimes knowing the truth can really hurt. Sometimes putting your head in there and looking and saying, okay, this is the real. There's a lot you got to deal with. But I want to say to you this morning, if you're not yet a believer, pray for courage to see the truth. And I can promise you, the truth will set you free. Because it gets better. Peter and John went to Jesus. They ran with their unbelief, with their doubts, with their fears, and it got better. The women came to Jesus with their spices and their honoring, but with their unbelief, and it got better. No matter where you are this morning, if you're a Christian, do you really want to know the truth? Or do you really want to change? Are you willing to change? Don't bring your spices. Run. Go see him. Go see what is true. And I can promise you, it will get better. Because Jesus brings life out of death. Jesus is risen. And he's risen in you, and he's risen in us as his church. Look at what happened here. Look at Peter at the end in verse 12 of our Luke passage. It says at the end here, and Peter went home marveling. What a great word. This word means astonished out of one's senses, awestruck. We might say walking on cloud nine. Peter went home skipping and whistling because he found the truth. And it's true. It's real. It really happened. And even with Peter's unbelief, he went and saw it. And he marveled. My hope for you this morning is that you would go home marveling. You would go home understanding the gospel more than ever before because you went in and got the truth. And the truth has set your heart free. The truth has reminded you again this morning of what's good. And that Jesus Christ really is better. He's better than your idols. He's better than money. He's better than anything, anybody. As C.S. Lewis would say, he's better than food, sex, drink, or ambition. Jesus is better. And so no matter what you've got going on in your heart this morning, run to him. Run to him and watch things get better. Run to him with your real self and see how real and good and powerful his resurrection is. The last thing I want you to see, and I'm going to go through it quickly, is all the way down at verse 36. And I just want you to see Jesus. I just want you to see what happened after the resurrection. Verse 36 says this, the disciples were talking about these things, and Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. Jesus appeared. Now, he's not yet ascended into heaven, but he is risen from the dead. Some commentators say they were in a locked room, and all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Now they think, is he a ghost? Is he a spirit? Who is he? He's 100% man, and he's 100% God. And so again, they're kind of thrown back. They don't know what to do. Verse 39 says this. Jesus says, see my hands and my feet. It is I. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. He's saying, look, feel me. Touch my hands. I've got elbows and knees. I'm not a ghost. I'm a man. Physical. And they're still kind of not sure about this. And so verse 41 says, while they were still disbelieving, for joy and marveling, there's all kinds of stuff going on with them, Jesus said to them, "You got anything to eat?" Sounds like a good southern boy walking into some restaurant, right? And they said, "Sure, we're fishermen. We've got some fish." And so Jesus sat down with a piece of fish and he ate it. Physically swallowed it. It went into his stomach. He's physically alive. He physically rose from the dead. A man died and is risen. The perfect man. He went into complete judgment and came out innocent and perfect and holy. And guess what they know now? He's going to heaven. And he's going to be seated as a man, fully physical, at the right hand of God the Father. So what does this say about us? Those who are in Christ, we too will rise. And physically, we will be in heaven. And we will be with Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he reiterates here in 44 and 45, all the Bible's about me. Look at what he says. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Who's the Bible about? Jesus. This is all about him. It just keeps getting better and better. He is the truth. And he opened their minds and they understood. This is what Jesus does. And when we come to him as people, as men and women, boys and girls, he says to us, "Come, I get it. I too am a man. And I too bring resurrection to people, real people." And so I encourage you to see what Jesus did and see what those who came after him received. They remembered. They ran to him. They listened to him. He allowed them, he invited them to touch his hands and his side. And they dined with him. Come to Jesus. Bring your heart to him. Seek after him. Enjoy what he has for you and find the truth. And here in just a minute, we're going to dine together. And we're going to dine with Jesus. Keep doing that. Keep coming to the real God with your real self. Because he is indeed the risen King. And he invites sinners. And he invites everyone to come to him because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Jesus, we worship you this morning as the risen King, the risen man, the human that died and rose. And thank you that things just get better and better with you. And how we long to enjoy you and be with you. I pray for everyone this morning that our hearts would run to you and run to you quickly. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.